broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot. And you're invited to join us tonight. Our number 877-876-PHIL. You're invited to join us every night at 877-876-PHIL. And, of course, we're also online at philhendryshow.com right now. If you go to our website, you have a backstage pass. You can watch live streaming video of the show as well as listen to the live streaming audio, which is there on the website. There are other places to hear the live streaming audio. But only our website contains some 15 years of archived great shows, great audio from our radio show, every single solitary show that we can find, in fact, over those years. And you can also, of course, watch our five-day video archive and access our merchandise shop, check out our best of CDs, as well as t-shirts, hats, and shot glasses, and coffee mugs, and like that, philhendryshow.com. Okay, in a moment we have Jim Nancy from FACT, F-A-C-T, that is Free American Communications and Telecommunications, FACT. And Jim is going to talk with us about the ongoing troubles for Rupert Murdoch. I think it's time that we dig into this with a little more substance than just the pie throwing. And by the way, of course, you know there wasn't a pie. It was a tin with shaving cream. But the figurative pie throwing, a little more substance than that. And this Prince of Darkness, a kind of rep that Rupert Murdoch has. So Jim is a part of a liberal think tank. We will get that side of it, but I think it should prove to be very, very interesting. Also, breastfeeding dolls. What do you think of those? Well, there is one that is out right now. And it has officially launched in the United States. And the website that is promoting this breastfeeding doll is very interesting. It's a website that has on it a political commentary about Bill O'Reilly. Now, Bill O'Reilly ain't my favorite guy, but I don't know what that's got to do with a website promoting toys. You understand what I'm saying? So you go to this website, and you can buy your breastfeed doll. And we'll get into with Steve Bozell exactly what that is. And you can also read about what the company thinks of Bill O'Reilly. And, by the way, you also learn that the company is a fervent believer in God because they tell you what God thinks of breastfeeding. Now, I'm sure God's got no problem with it because, after all, he's the basic designer and engineer. But I just thought it was very fascinating stuff to put on the homepage of a toy company. It's pretty whack. Anyway, that's coming up next hour. Number 877-876-PHIL. And our affiliate spotlight tonight, it falls on KJCE in Austin, Texas, and in Syracuse, WFBL. Tomorrow I'm going to be at the Comic-Con, that is the comic convention in San Diego. And I'll be moderating a panel, hosting a panel, featuring all the actors, the producers, a lot of the writers, I suspect, from Napoleon Dynamite, which was a hit film and has been turned into an animated series, which I also has been very happy to and very fortunate to be a part of. So if you're around San Diego and you've got passes to the Comic-Con, come on over. 2 o'clock is when we're going to be doing our panel with all of the actors. Most of them, I think. I hope all of them are going to be there. Phil LaMarr, I know, and Tara Strong, and a whole crew of them there at the Comic-Con tomorrow, 2 o'clock. In San Diego. Also, on August the 7th, I'll be a guest on Kevin Pollak's chat show at kevinpollakchatshow.com. That's August 7th, 3 p.m. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And let's get on Jim Nancy now. Jim, it's very, very good of you to join us here this evening. And I know you're with a group called First Amendment Communication and Telecommunication FACT. Tell me what that is.
First American Communication Telecommunication was a think tank that we put together in 2005, and we wanted to assess the impact that the conservative media was beginning to have on our ability to interact and our ability to deliver news and communication, the accurate things we wanted to do, Bill. And we felt that what was needed was something that countered what we saw, an ever-encroaching and ever-dominating influence of the conservative media. I know that there's been a fair and frequent red herring among conservatives that the media is dominated by liberals. I don't see that at all, especially when we saw this display put on by the Murdochs in front of the House of Commons the other day. So it's an organization, a think tank, some of the more prominent liberal thinkers in our country. A lot of them people are contributing not only ideas, we have published papers three times a year, but people that when just sit down in a place, a comfortable place, we've got clubs, we have people's homes where we sit and literally do what a think tank is supposed to do, and that is brainstorm and come up with ideas. So
you were a reaction to what you saw was the encroachment of conservative media.
That is, yes, absolutely. And we, not to sound paranoid, but we just think that people need very much a definite alternative to the liberal viewpoint, to the conservative viewpoint, and give them a liberal viewpoint. When you talk about somebody like Rupert Murdoch, here's a guy that runs newspapers all over the world, is a man that influences the thinking in this country, in the United States. Rupert Murdoch got up in front of the House of Commons the day yesterday. I got up early for that, Phil. I think a lot of people did. It started at 6:30 in the morning here on the West Coast. And Rupert Murdoch, and I'm in San Francisco, California, and I know that you watched a little bit of it because you and I talked.
Yeah, I did. And as a matter of fact, I saw the repeat, and I must confess that I watched the repeat so I could see the pie throwing or the shaving cream throwing.
Yeah, well, the worst things can happen to people, and I'm not saying that I endorse that kind of indignity on anybody. I'm sure there's worse things that can happen to people, and I think it's if you talk about Rupert Murdoch and you talk about the indignities that he's put people through with the misreporting of his newspapers, with the lying, with the propagandizing that a Rupert Murdoch and his son James Murdoch have done, I think there are worse things that you could put somebody through than a pie tin with shaving cream.
All right, well, with us here is Jim Nancy. Jim is with First American Communications and Telecommunications, a think tank dedicated to the proposition. I guess I'm sounding very patriotic there.
We're dedicated to the proposition. We are patriotic to offsetting and giving an alternative to the conservative media.
All right, and Rupert Murdoch, in your mind and in the minds of a lot of people, represents the power of this conservative media. Now, when you saw him answering these questions there in front of the House of Commons, in front of that Committee on Culture and Sport, I imagine that you felt pretty good. True?
Well, I don't. I wouldn't want to describe that I felt pretty good. I thought, Phil, that you don't feel pretty good, you know, when you see something happen like that, where Rupert Murdoch has been called in front of a committee like this, and his son James has. You don't feel pretty good because you think you've won a victory. That was an inevitability. And let me explain what I mean. It was an inevitability that Rupert Murdoch, the way that he gathers news, the way that he reports news, the way that he hires people, it was an inevitability that Rupert Murdoch, sooner or later, was going to be dragged in front of a committee like that.
He wasn't exactly dragged, sir.
I beg your pardon?
He wasn't exactly dragged. I mean,
he wasn't going to say no.
Well, he went in, and by the way, after that so-called pie throwing, after that tin of shaving cream hit him, he came back. He didn't have to come back.
He didn't have to come back. I don't know what you mean by that.
He didn't. I mean, he could have said to them, you know what, my security and my safety have been compromised. I want nothing more to do with this hearing. I'm not coming back to this building. You may want to subpoena me, and maybe we can talk about these things in a more secure setting, and I'd be happy to do that. But he could have said, you know, I'm not coming back here. You have not provided a secure setting for this. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that may be true. Phil, you give him a heroic tinge if you'd like to give him the patina of heroism like that. That is well and good, and you're entitled to do that. But the bottom line is, he knew, just as you said, that he is under subpoena and he would be brought back no matter where. I don't care if they're, Phil, I don't care if they're talking to the guy under a peach tree someplace, or if they have a picnic basket set out. If they're talking to Rupert Murdoch in with a picnic basket. What I'm talking about, or as Yogi Bear would say, the picnic basket, when we were kids. What I'm talking about, if you saw Yogi Bear, you saw what he would say, a picnic basket. He had the, I don't know what the guy was calling, it was a Yellowstone Ranger, right?
Yeah.
And you would have mentioned that Rupert Murdoch has been calling out to give testimony under a picnic basket. It doesn't make any difference to me where you ask him the questions, as long as you ask him the questions. And the questions that have to be asked about Rupert Murdoch is the following question. Do you understand, sir, that your newspaper, News of the World, was engaged in violating the rights, the civil liberties of private citizens that that's the business that you're in, Mr. Murdoch. And what have you got to say for yourself? And what he was able to do, I think, is I think it's always amazing to watch a guy like Rupert Murdoch, someone that has all of that money and someone that's got all of that power, and people just, you know, the Red Sea's part for a guy like that. And I thought it was amazing to watch as Rupert Murdoch sat there and had these people in the palm of his hand. And his son James, I think, probably didn't need to do all the talking. I think his son James could have shut up and let his father do the talking. He had them eating out of the palm of his hand.
Well, I didn't see that. I mean, I saw a man that was answering, I thought, some pretty tough questions.
What tough questions did he have to answer?
In one instance, one of the lawmakers asked him, I think one of them said, do you take responsibility for this?
And you heard what he said. You heard in the ego on this man to say no.
Well, that's not an easy question, and there were some follow-ups. There was also a question by one of them, I think, who said that, are you planning on closing any other newspapers? What have you done to make sure that this doesn't happen at any other newspapers? You know.
Well, he did, but who did all the talking? And that was his son, James. And he brought along that young man, James Murdoch. And I say young man, he's probably a Rupert Murdoch in training. He brought him along to answer these tough questions. He brought him along so that it would be a screen or a filter, whereby his father didn't have to answer the question. James Murdoch would squirm. And by the way, and this is interesting to your listeners, the news today said that James Murdoch most likely will be laid upon the sacrificial altar. And to use the graphic biblical example, Phil, laid upon the altar, and he will have the figurative dagger driven through his skull, probably by his own father. So,
You're saying that James Murdoch's going to get fired.
I'm saying that James Murdoch is going to be symbolically laid upon the altar, the sacrificial altar, by this old man, an 80-year-old old man who should have stepped aside a long time ago, and given his son an opportunity to clean that company up, to take a good, clean solvent to that company and scrub and clean and get the stink out of it. When Rupert Murdoch could have done that, he didn't do that. He stayed around, and now what is he going to do? He's going to take his son, and he's going to cut his throat from ear to ear. And
you're saying figuratively. I just, you're being very graphic.
No, figuratively, yeah.
All right, so you're saying that James Murdoch is going to lose his job.
I'm saying that James Murdoch is going to lose his position with the Rupert Murdoch empire, yes. That is not to say that James Murdoch doesn't stand to inherit a lot of money and is going to eventually have a big say in how that company is run.
All right, well, I don't disagree with that. I don't know, but you have the information, Jim. And we're talking to Jim Nancy here, folks, of FACT, that is Free American Communication and Telecommunication. And what he's telling us is that Rupert Murdoch will probably fire his son. I don't know that I believe that. He's telling us that Rupert Murdoch got away with a lot in front of that British panel, that he charmed them, that he had them eating out of his hand. And, there's a few other pieces of news that we can get to here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And we're going to be back with Jim Nancy as we talk to the founder of Free American Communication and Telecommunication about the fortunes, good and bad, of the Rupert Murdoch empire and this Rupert Murdoch scandal. Next hour, Steve Bozell on The Breastfeeding Doll. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and we're from broadcasting from the El Pacifico. So if you're taking a look at Phil TV in HD, you are looking at the beautiful Pacific Ocean behind me. That's our outdoor camera. You can see that. You join us on our Phil TV webcast. You will also see us feeding some of the news from the net And we also broadcast sometimes from our sewer studio, also sometimes from our firing squad studio. Sometimes we broadcast from the clean-out area of the sewer. We've got two or three different sewer studios. So we basically took an entire building that at one time was a mental institution and converted it into a broadcast center. We're very proud of that, and we thank all the people that worked very hard at that, Bud, Robert, and a few others. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Joining me is Jim Nancy of Free American Communication and Telecommunication, and we're talking about Rupert Murdoch. Now, Jim, it's no secret, you're a liberal.
No, I don't. I've never tried to hide that, that's for sure.
All right, and you're not a Rupert Murdoch fan, so we're looking at it from that standpoint, that Rupert Murdoch was essentially called out by British lawmakers.
Well, yes, exactly, Phil. And let me put it to you this way. There was no question, at least in my mind, and I don't think there's any question in any thinking American's mind, that what's going on in the United States right now is exactly what went on in Great Britain. And with those newspapers and that News of the World and that young man that runs them, James Murdoch. Jim Murdoch is the son, and he was the president of News International. He knew everything that was going on. He knew everybody's phone that was being tapped. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Rebecca Brooke was not in communication with him daily, asking him as to whose phone should be tapped.
You really believe that, huh?
I absolutely believe that. This is a young man that wanted the reins of power in that company. And he sees a guy like Chase Carey with that handlebar mustache that he's got. And if you've seen Chase Carey, I think I heard you and the band. The man that I talked to earlier, I don't know what his name is.
Jason Rantz.
Yeah, I heard the two of you talking.
Well, I was talking about Chase Carey at one time when Fox owned the Dodgers.
He was the man that was the go-to guy for Rupert Murdoch with the Los Angeles Dodgers, and now he's going to be the go-to guy in that company. If you look at the guy, he's got the big handlebar mustache, and anybody that wears a handlebar mustache, Phil, psychologists will tell you, and it's a very interesting fact, anyone who wears a handlebar mustache, they think they're some kind of a colorful character, and they think that they're worthy of people looking at them and emulating them, and aren't they colorful? And this idea that you can be a colorful character is fine. I got nothing against anybody that wants to be a colorful person, per se. But I do have something against somebody that has that handlebar mustache, is going to take over this empire at some point, and is probably going to drill even deeper into the consciousness, the soul, and the moral fiber of a country. So I think this guy, Chase Carey, is dangerous. I think when you look at a guy with a big handlebar mustache like that, and he thinks he's a colorful guy.
Let's stick with Rupert Murdoch. I don't know anything about Chase Carey.
All right, fair enough.
I don't know anything about Chase Carey. I don't want to talk about Chase Carey. I don't want to indict that man unfairly until and unless, you know.
All right, Phil, there's going to be a time, believe me. I've got a dossier on Chase Carey.
All right, well, that's fine, but I don't want to talk about him right now. I want to talk about where the focus of the story is, and that is on Rupert Murdoch.
All right, I can talk about Rupert Murdoch all night. Rupert Murdoch, Phil, when I was a young man, I would go to the movie theater, and on a Saturday afternoon, you could spend 50 cents, you go in and you see a movie like all of these exploitation movies. They had the 3D movie, The Pit and the Pendulum, and they had the Tingler, if you know the film The Tingler. And that was with Vincent Price, and there was a tingler on the screen at the very end of the movie. And they would say something along the lines of, oh, my God, the tingler's loose, or it's loose. The theater was like a worm or an insect that got into your brain. And it was a lot of fun. And we would watch these movies. Well, they always showed a newsreel before the movie, and they would show you what's going on in the world. And the thing that they were showing in those days was the Nuremberg trial. And you would look at these guys, and I swear, Phil, to God, it reminded me so much when I was looking at Rupert Murdoch in front of the British House of Commons. He looked like a Nazi war criminal. He looked like one of those Nazis that they had on trial at Nuremberg. And every one of those guys, you know what happened to them? They went and they went to the gallows. And when I looked at Rupert Murdoch, he looked like one of those Nazis that got found out and they did what they had to do. But you do with any Nazi. And Rupert Murdoch, I don't know what he's capable of. No one knows what he's capable of. But I will tell you this. There's no doubt in my mind that what happened in Great Britain is happening right here in this country. And if it's not James Murdoch or that Rebecca Brooke, it's this guy, the guy with the mustache, Chase Carey, who thinks he is some colorful character. And he may be colorful, all right, but he's got a listening device under your bed He has a listening device in your bathroom. He has hacked into phones. And
you hear what you're saying now. You're talking about not just hacking phones. You're talking about bugging people's homes.
No, I mean hacking phones. I don't have any evidence of bugging anyone's home.
Well, you just said that this guy's got a listening device in toilets and in bedrooms.
Well, I think they're using the phones. They're using the home phones to listen in on people when they're in the bathroom, listen to their bathroom habits. That's what I mean.
All right, hold on for a minute. We're going to be back here on the Phil Hendry Show with Jim Nancy. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. We'll get to the bottom of this.
Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back. 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show on the line with me. Actually, in San Francisco, and is traveling about the Bay Area this evening. I think he's close to home. Is Jim Nancy with Free American Communication and Telecommunication Fact. And we're talking about Rupert Murdoch and his appearance there before that committee. By the way, do you know the name of that committee, Jim?
Well, I think it was something. I want to ask you a question, Phil. I'll answer your question now. I think it was something. It was the British Committee on Sport and Media, Culture, Sport, and Media. And that is that's basically the British, that is their telecommunications committee. That is their committee. I don't know the exact, the one that you would call the mirroring of that here in the United States Congress. I'm sure that we have a committee like that. But that's what they do. That is their purview. That is their BTA. That's the area that they cover. And so when something goes wrong with media in Great Britain, whether it's television, whether it's radio, whether it's the Internet, or whether it's newspapers, any kind of media, that is the committee that asks the question. I had, speaking of mass media, and a lady just tweeted me, actually. They said she's watching you on the Phil TV.
Oh, great. It's a listener of mine.
Yes, it is. And she's also a fan of mine. I don't want to mention her name, but she said she saw you reaching down and she thought you were scratching something. And I had to say...
All right, okay. Well, I don't know that I want to talk about this here, okay?
What's that again?
I don't know that I want to talk about... This was something on my video cast off air.
Well, no, it was on the video cast. No.
I understand that, but it wasn't while I was on the radio.
No, that's right. It was on a commercial break. But I wanted to ask you a question because don't you, if you have a woman watching and she, you know that you got women watching, does it concern you? You know?
Does it concern me what, sir?
Well, Phil, I don't want to get in an argument with you, but I was just curious if it concerned you that this lady thought that you would reach down if you were scratching your genitals.
All right. I don't want to talk. I think that's very embarrassing, and I think it's unnecessary for you to bring that up.
Well, I apologize, Phil. I'm not trying to anger you. The question I was asking was it had to do with propriety. That's all.
Well, first of all, if I was doing that, no one would know because the camera that I'm using right now, camera 2, literally shows me from the middle of my chest up. You can't see anything. You can see a microphone, me, headphones, and the ocean behind me.
All right. Okay. Because I'm not watching. So I didn't know what she was saying.
All right. So that was someone who decided to tell you that. So I could be embarrassed. She's obviously not a fan.
I apologize, Phil. I can tell you very much. I know the lady, and she's very much a fan. And, you know, it could be that she didn't intend for me to read that on the air, and I apologize. But the reason why I mention that is because when we talk about media, we talk about inadvertent things or things that are on purpose. When you talk about a man like Rupert Murdoch, he knows every step, and he knows everything he's doing. Let me tell you something about Fox News. Because I had mentioned to you that I believe that this is going on here in the United States of America, and I really do. I think the United States of America is being used by Rupert Murdoch the same way that he used Great Britain. It is my opinion that Rupert Murdoch and Bill O'Reilly probably have a daily phone conversation. When this child came into the studio at Fox News, and Bill O'Reilly was on his way to the set, and there was a child there. It was the child of one of the workers. One of the individuals that helps to do a show there, I don't know exactly the name of the person, and I don't know the name of the baby, but there was a flight of some 5 or 6 stairs next to where this child was playing. You can argue that you're not allowed and should not be allowed to have a child near stairs like that. But the child was there, and the cameras were rolling, the audio was rolling before they went on the air, And it was Bill O'Reilly had kicked this kid, and you could hear, you could literally hear the child going down these stairs. All right, now
that's not a real recording.
No, it is not. It is not. It is an approximation of what happened, but we did not have that tape. And
you said that something. You said that the audio was rolling, didn't you?
The audio was rolling. The audio was corrupted, though, because it was on an old spindle. It was on one of these old spindle recordings or logging tape, and it wasn't any good. So we took it back to the studio, and we were able to approximate it. The child was probably no more than three. All right, and that was the kid going down the stairs. And
well, it doesn't sound real. It sounds like you dummied it up in a studio. It sounds like you used sound effects.
That is exactly what we did.
And but you're saying that that actually happened. You just don't have the tape.
We did not have the tape because it was corrupted because of the logging tape they were using. But I wanted you to hear, at least I wanted to give you a flavor or a sense of what Bill O'Reilly did as he walked by this kid. He looked at the kid. The kid bothered him on some level. And he, with a side swipe of his foot. All right, so I understand what your point is.
It's not a truthful record. And I don't want to use a sound effect that approximates something that you allege unless there is a truthful record of it somewhere that exists. Now, you say that there isn't one. Excuse me for a moment. I'm getting over a cold, and every now and again I have a little bit of an allergic reaction.
I understand.
You say that there isn't one.
I want you to know that I understand. I said that I understand because I can hear it in your voice, and it sounds like there's a lot of strain. So I understand.
All right, hold on for a minute. Anybody watching a video cast obviously can see that I'm struggling with that. I'm fine, okay?
But I can hear it in your voice, and I understand the pressure that you're under. And maybe that you, especially when I had cold, you can't hear very clearly. When O'Reilly walked by this kid and kicked that kid, and the kid went flying like down those stairs, it sounded exactly like that. That's not a recording. That is an approximation. And
where is the factual record of this happening, though, sir? Where is the factual record of this, Jim? Where is the evidence that this actually happened?
I've got a look for that officer. That's a very good question. But I don't, obviously I'm using an anecdotal reference to it. But what I'm saying, and what I think your audience understand, is that Bill O'Reilly at Fox News and everybody else involved with the Rupert Murdoch organization, there's something about them that has disquieted the American people for a long time. There's something about them that disquiets the British lawmakers, and there's something about them that I guarantee you is going to disquiet American lawmakers as soon as they wake up and say to themselves, by God, if it's happening in Great Britain, it's got to be happening in the United States.
Well, again, evidence is a nice thing, as the saying goes. And if there is evidence of something like that happening, then we want to see it or we want to hear it. But I've never been one, and I'm not going to start today, Jim. I've never been one who says, oh, well, think about it. It stands to reason.
That's exactly what I would say. Think about it. It does stand to reason. If it's happening in Great Britain, why would it be happening in the United States? And what?
I don't know. Maybe it's because we're smarter in the United States. Maybe it's because the journalists in this country have higher ethics or a higher standard. I don't. Maybe not. You know.
I doubt very much if that's it, Mr. Henry. You've got a conservative media here in this country whose ethics are as low as any I've ever seen. They're as low as anybody in Great Britain, and that's for sure. When you've got Rupert Murdoch, Rupert Murdoch doesn't just own a newspaper here in the United States. He owns a television network. He owns an enterprise that involves a network, a news channel, and a film studio. So that man is, without doubt, that man has his finger in every pie. And I think it's naive to the point of laughable to say that they aren't doing that. And
That may be true, but there is no evidence of that.
Well, I can tell you that I think Rupert Murdoch, you heard that baby, and you heard that child falling down the stairs. This is an actual recording here, and this is from, where is this, Friday, October 2006, and listen. Can you hear that, Phil?
Yeah, I can hear that. What is it?
I recorded that. It was outside my home. That was a child that was sent around by a reporter for the New York Post. He came around my home as I was conducting a couple of interviews with individuals who had been beaten up by New York police. And we were going to put this in my newspaper the next day and on my website. That child, the minute that I began to start to interview these people, that child began to scream outside my window. And that's when I put the tape recorder and put it up on the ledge. I'm going to play it again, Jim. Cut three. And the 2016. I put it up on the ledge. Now, at one point, I was asking questions of the individual. We'll go ahead and roll that.
Police officer dead.
I love these stadium wings. What is that?
I don't know.
Shut up! Shut up! All right, that's all I've got.
What, is that you yelling to shut up?
Yes, I told that child to shut up. I called Fox, and I called the news channel, and the newsroom, I said, you get Shepard Smith or anybody you know, and you tell them to shut their mouths. Now, I was very excited, and he said, what do you mean? I said, well, I want Shepard Smith to shut up. He's not doing it, but I want him to shut up, because I know that child represents Shepard Smith. And I half expected to see him standing out there on the street, interrupting my afternoon as I was trying to do these interviews. Now, this child continued, and we'll go ahead and play the whole thing for us to get a real good feel for this. Now, Shepard Smith, he isn't going to get me. He won't get me to shut up! Shut up! Now, that brat, see the brat? The brat's doing it. I'd throw that was a brat that was doing that on purpose.
All right, so that kid came to your home.
On the street, outside my apartment.
That's in New York?
That's in New York.
And started screaming like that underneath your window. Why?
As I said, I was interviewing individuals who had been beaten up by the New York City police, and we were going to have a special on that on my website and our newsletter the next day in the village. And as I was conducting these interviews and talking to these people, all of a sudden, outside my window, and you can get the effect if you hear the kid, and I said to the kid, I said, you are not going to shut me up. You're not going to keep me from telling the truth to the American people. You are not going to keep this truth from going out. And I laughed, Phil, because I said to the kid, I said, do you know how embarrassing you are that you have nothing to say to me? All you can do is go, You can't put together one good argument why I shouldn't be interviewing these people. And the kid looks up at me and I just said, you know what? You're a child, but I hope you die soon.
You're yelling all of this outside your window.
You better believe I'm yelling all of that outside my window. I would have yelled it all out. I would have yelled it in front of Rupert Murdoch the other day. You better believe that, Phil. I know I sound like a kook, and I know I sound like a guy that doesn't have his act together or doesn't know what it is he's talking about. But I yelled at that kid. I said, go ahead, give me one good argument why I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing. And he sounded like a lot of these conservatives who have no argument at all. All they can do is yell and go, la, 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 la. And I said, I hope you die. And I slammed the window shut.
Maybe what you should have done is slam the window shut originally, you know?
Well, Phil, to each his own, Phil, and everyone, there's more than one way to boil stew, as my mother used to say, and there's more than one way to shine your shoes, and more than one way to catch a train uptown. And there's more than one way to get into a Yankee game. And there's damn sure more than one way to play center field for the Yankees. And there's more than one...
All right, I understand there's more than one way to do a lot of things. I'm saying it would have been just as easy for you to shut the window so you didn't hear the kid.
Well, I don't know, because you're going to hear, if you roll that tape again, you're going to hear the kid yelling. All right. Now, you go ahead, let's have a conversation.
Will you turn that kid off?
No. Listen, let's have a conversation. You can't do it. Yeah, how you doing, Phil? Shut up! And then I said, you can quote me, I said, I hope you die. And the kid, he made a gesture, and I'm pretty sure it was the finger. And he turned with his little skateboard or whatever nonsensical toy he had, and he walked away. And I said, you give my regards to your Grandpa Rupert. And he gave me the finger, because even at the distance that I was at, I could tell he was giving me the finger. And I said, you tell your Grandpa Rupert that I hope he has a nice day. And you tell your uncle, your gay uncle, Shepard Smith,
All right. You know, you have come on this program here, Jim, with a lot of unsubstantiated stuff. Okay?
Well, no. What do you mean unsubstantiated? You ask anybody in your listening audience, is Shepard Smith gay? And they're all going to come back with a big thumbs up. And I would say that the grandfather's boy, the figure of grandfather's boy, Rupert Murdoch, got that brat to scream under my window while I was trying to get the goods to the New York City Police Department. And then he gives me the finger and walks away.
All right, Jim, I think you are working on, again, and it's my least favorite kind of reporting, you are working on anecdotal information, hearsay, rumor, and gossip, and I don't think it's going to get you anywhere. The kid was screaming outside my window, gave me the finger. All right, back with our final segment, Jim Nancy from the Free American Communication and Telecommunication, a think tank, back east, even though he lives in San Francisco. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. That's it. Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here on the Phil Henry Show. You know, we're talking here with Jim Nancy from Fact. Jim, I know that you got to where you were going. I guess you were heading home, and I was half joking there when I said that you have an East Coast think tank, but there you are in San Francisco. Why is that?
Of people from the East Coast. I didn't say it was located in the East Coast. I think that we get together all over the country, and I think this being a great country where you can draw from so many different sources of wisdom and intellect and creativity, a great many futurists, we can do that here in San Francisco as well as anywhere else. But yes, we have most of the people that I rely on, and most of the people that I think have gotten Rupert Murdoch dead to rights. When I looked at Rupert Murdoch on TV and saw him lying and lying and lying over and over again, and I looked at the way that man lied, then his son lied. I saw that Rebecca Brooks, she lied. And I looked at this, and this is a proficient display of what the media in this country has become. It is a well-oiled, well-functioning lying machine, a liar. And you know as well as I do that we are starting tomorrow a news network, which is going to be the Fact News Network. We want people to get used to hearing the News Fact Network sounder, where when you hear that on your radio, and we are setting up a radio network, and we're hoping we get off the dime with 150 radio stations, and we certainly do hope, Phil, that you will consider promoting it, Fact News Network, and when you hear our sounder, you'll know that we have the lie of the day. Now, Rupert Murdoch is a liar. When you send around an 11-year-old boy to stand out underneath my window and scream as if he's being mugged or thrown into the trunk of a car, only to be taken off and dismembered and put into a separate, how the serial killer does it, I forget how they do it, but generally they take the head, they put that in the bag, you know. And
what are you talking about?
What am I talking about? I'm talking about Rupert Murdoch.
And what has this got to do with a head in a bag?
I'm talking about when you send around a kid and you have that child scream under my window, and then the child gives the finger. As he walks away the finger, okay, I think you got an awful lot to answer for. When you listen for the truth sounder or the fact sounder, and this is it. I know that sounds like from the cartoon The Jetsons, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
All right. The reason why we use that is because it's a generation of Americans who remember that sound. And when they hear that, of course, when you were a child, you thought of what when you heard that? What did you think when you heard that, Phil?
You know, I think it's a bad idea, okay?
I didn't ask you when you thought it was a good idea or a bad idea. I asked, what did you think of when you heard that?
I thought George Jetson was getting home.
Daddy's home. And when you think of Daddy's home, you know that everything wrong in the world is going to be made right. So that's why we decided. This is what we call, and I'm up for suggestions. This is the fact, truth sounder. Rupert Murdoch is a liar. He got there with his son, James. He told lie after lie after lie after lie. Now you got this guy, David Cameron, the prime minister, has got to stand there with his pants down around his ankles, his underwear around his knees, is, you know what, waving in the breeze, and he's got to explain why he had this Rebecca Brooks at his home. His home! He had the woman in his own house. Here's somebody that is tapping phones, and he's got her, in a bearskin rug with her rear end up in the air? I don't know.
No, David Cameron made the point that the woman never did spend the night at 10 Downing Street like everybody else did. Okay? That Gordon Brown had her over. Tony Blair had her over. I think a couple of other guys had this Rebecca Brooks over there. Cameron was saying, yes, she visited. She did not spend the night. Okay?
Well, you can believe what you want to believe, but I think this guy is cut from the same cloth that Rupert Murdoch is cut from. And when you hear this sound... This is a fact, truth, alert. David Cameron had Rebecca Brooks in his home. He says that she didn't spend the night. He says he didn't have a slumber party with her. Well, it's very interesting the word slumber party comes very quickly to David Cameron. David Cameron must know what a slumber party is. You know what that is. It's when you have a woman that isn't your wife, and she's there in those flannel pajamas, but you can make out every crease, every crevice, every crack. And you can see what she's all about, that's for sure. You don't need to have a doctor. I don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. And when you hear this sound...
Will you shut that crap off? Thank you very much, Jim Nancy. You can see every crack and every crevice. I'll tell you one thing. David Cameron did say he had Rebecca Brooks there at his home, but she did not spend the night. We'll be back. Phil, Steve Bozell.
When you hear this sound...
From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We're a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. And we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't and they don't. And that's our lot in life. We are on the point, baby. We are out on the point. You know, we're out front. We are where the guy is that draws all the fire. And that is what we do for the rest of the radio world, leading the way, especially when it comes to this format of quote-unquote talk radio. 877-876-PHIL, or as they call it, these days, spoken word, 877-876-7445. And don't forget that, I shouldn't say you could forget this if you want to, but if you are at all interested in some of the things that are happening here on the Phil Hendry Show tomorrow, I'll be hosting, moderating, and basically just being the guy that goes, ha, 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 ha. And, you know, I point at people on a panel for Napoleon Dynamite at Comic-Con. That's in San Diego. That is the comic convention in San Diego. And that starts at 2 o'clock. And everybody from Napoleon Dynamite, which is a new animated series on Fox next year, will be there. And a few other things that we've got coming up. An appearance at the National Association of Broadcasters in Chicago in September for you Phil Hendry fans and you Bubba the Love Sponge fans. You guys can... get together and have a love fest. Bubba's going to be on the panel with me at the NAB. Kevin Pollak's chat show I'll be a guest on, and that's at kevinpollakchatshow.com. And you can watch that on August the 7th, and that's at 3 p.m. Pacific time. And that will be fun for me. I don't know if I hope Kevin has a good time, but he's one of my favorite actors. And I only recently found out the guy was a stand-up comic. I always thought he was an actor because I first... found out about him watching movies like, you know, Avalon and A Few Good Men and things like that. So that's on the 7th of August. 877-876-PHIL. Now, very interesting and strange story that we were going into at the beginning of our pre-show tonight. If you have a backstage pass and you flip us on at 9:15, we do a whole 45-minute pre-show. All of our breaks and all of our pre-show completely uncensored. And there are some pretty wicked and evil and disturbing things that are seen sometimes. I'm not saying... in fact, there are some things that happen on our pre-show and during our uncensored segments that I am ashamed of. And I know you think I'm kidding, but I'm not. And that I can't watch again. And that I... It's that disturbing. I'm not kidding. I can also tell you that because it is real... You know, it's really happening... I can't promise you that it's going to happen again. All I can tell you is that in the past, we've had some very disturbing things, some very disturbing displays, and I will even go so far as to tell you that they have been mostly engendered and generated by me. So that,
yeah,
take that for what that's worth. Steve Bozell is going to be joining us. He's a father in Corona, California. He owns a construction company, but he also has a daughter and a son and a wife, and like all of us, is concerned about, you know, what is going on in the world and the things that we see and the things that we don't see and the things that are marketed for our kids and some of the things that are marketed for us as adults. And there is a new controversial doll that is the breastfeeding play doll. It's called Breast Milk Baby. It makes sucking noises, and it cries when it's fed, and it even burps when it is patted. Mr. Bozell had made a complaint to the Berjuan or Berjuan Toys, a Spanish company behind the doll, and you are planning on going even further than that. Mr. Bozell, welcome to our program.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
Can you tell me what you've, before we get into the specifics of this doll, what have been your protests?
Well, I mean, I talked to two representatives of the company there, and I also spoke with a reporter. I actually contacted a gentleman who works at the local Corona Syndicate, and I told him my communication with his company. I also, Mr. Henry, had said to you that I noticed their website had you'd also pointed that out. Their website had a negative comment to Bill O'Reilly, because Bill O'Reilly, I guess it felt very strongly, as I feel very strongly, that this is a bad thing. I had talked to my daughter about it.
Now, how old is your daughter?
My daughter's 11.
Your daughter is 11. Does she want this doll?
She does. She's a little old for it, because they recommend that the doll is for younger children who don't understand or need to understand the concept of breastfeeding. She has asked for it, and we got it for her. And against my best wishes, my wife got it for her, and it was, you know, something we disagreed on, but that's what married couples do. And my daughter got this and immediately began playing with it, as young people will do. Now, I had made my feelings known to the school. The school responded in a way that I have to address, and that's why I have begun court proceedings against her school.
And all right, so this breastfeeding doll purchased by your wife for your daughter has led to you taking legal action against the school.
Yes, sir, because I feel that the school now is attempting to circumvent or go over me as a father, and they are directing my daughter to the point where it has affected my ability to do my job and my ability to run my family and to maintain my reputation. To go even further, if I could, Mr. Henry, I was on a website. It was not a website, but it was a message board. I said that I needed to maintain my reputation. I gave the particulars of this on this message board. I was immediately attacked by other individuals. I was called every name in the book. People started mocking me and posting obscene pictures of the genitals and so forth. This is what has happened as a result of this breast milk baby and a father trying to do the very best he can by his family.
All right. Well, sir, you're going to have to get into all of the things that you did. We're talking with Stephen Bozell. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. The breast milk baby doll is not really the extent of the toy. It also comes with what looks like an apron. It's a bib-like halter top featuring two flowers that are in the place of nipples. The company said the doll was created to let young girls express their love and affection in the most natural way possible and may even change the nation's attitudes to breastfeeding. Now, whether or not we need our attitudes changed about breastfeeding is one thing. Your concern, Mr. Bozell, is that this is an inappropriate toy for a girl because our children are already being sexualized.
Well, that was part of it, and that was something you and I discussed. The immediate problem that I had, and yes, sir, that's exactly what my fear is. You put it in a way that I think I was looking for the words, but it does sexualize our young people, and it causes our young people to behave in ways that they don't need to. And when, for me, it has been destructive.
And now I need for you to get into why it's destructive.
Well,
the reaction that I had is a natural reaction, and any man's going to have it. When a woman is breastfeeding a baby, you're going to have a lot of reactions. You're going to look at that, and you're going to react. You know, I love it. I love it. I love to look at it. And I like to, you know, it's a sexual thing, I guess. And
all right, it may be a sexual thing, but we're talking about a little girl here.
Well, we're talking about my daughter, but yes, we are talking about a little girl. But understand something, Mr. Henry. Breastfeeding is now something that is not only meant for babies. It's also meant for consenting adults. It is also meant for men. And that is now established and very well established, I think. You know, if you look at a lot of the publications, men get to do it too. And
what do you mean men get to do it too? I don't understand that, sir. I don't understand the concept that now it's meant for men. What does that mean? Are you talking about some kind of sex play?
Well, yes, sir, I am. But what I'm saying is that what they've done through the production of adult movies is they've now made it, they've established it, breastfeeding, that has now established not only as something that keeps an infant alive, but it's now fully established it's something that a man has every right to expect if his wife's pregnant or is able to, what we call lifting, and I don't know if I'm allowed to say lift and squeeze. You know that?
No, I didn't know that, but I guess you just said it. See, what? Well, here's the thing that I'm confused about.
If I could just finish, Mr. Henry.
No, hold on, because we're going into a break. Not only is breastfeeding for children, you're telling me now it's fully established that it's something that men are entitled to.
Yes, sir. Based upon the documentary Evidence. Yes, sir.
What documentary evidence is that?
Well, I don't think you. I don't need to tell you that we've got quite a number of the adult films.
Well, there may be adult films, sir, that feature something that you're telling me that adult men and adult women are partaking of this kind of activity, this breastfeeding, as part of perhaps someone's private sexual life and as part of adult films. But that doesn't tell me that it's now, quote, fully established that men get to do it too.
Well, sir.
Now, hold the line here, Mr. Bozell. We'll be back. We're talking to Stephen Bozell of Corona, California, who is protesting the release and the sale of this breastfeeding doll, or breast milk baby, as it's called. And I don't know that I disagree with him. He's now getting into an area here that we're going to have to question him more about. He is saying that because this activity of a lactating woman somehow has made its way into adult films, that as a man, he now sees it as a sexual activity. And that's, you see, I'm afraid of where we're going with this, but I guess we got to go there. 877-876-PHIL, if you want to go there with me. 877-876-7445. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
I didn't mean what you said, I said. I didn't mean.
Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And I'm going to, for those of you watching Phil TV and HD, I'm going to get over to the breast milk baby. I'm going to try to get an image of it up. But it's not really all that much to look at. It's a baby doll. The halter top looks innocent enough. But what you have there is a halter top that has two flowers on it that are nipples. And I'm assuming that there is some liquid or fluid or something approximating mother's milk that a little girl, uses to
to play that she's a mommy and she's feeding this doll. Now, I don't disagree with you, Mr. Bozell. I don't like this doll. I don't think children, elementary school girls, need to be... I don't think there's... It doesn't look to me, man, like this is a really heavy thing that they need to learn. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And the damage that it does to families and what it did to me, the psychological damage that it can do. And the fact that I'm suing the school, I mean, this is out of control, Mr. Henry. And in a lot of ways, it's similar to what Casey Anthony did to a whole community. Casey Anthony, all she did, and I'm not saying all she did, but it was a bad enough thing. She killed a kid. She killed her own child. But what did that result in? It resulted in the whole country sitting around looking at this woman on TV. And I sat around. I sat and ate and sat and ate and ate and ate, and I didn't get any work done. As I looked, and I wanted to see what she looked like when she was coming out of prison. I mean, those are the things that you think back on and you're embarrassed. So I don't want that to happen again. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing with this Brett. You know, the boo. I have a very difficult time because I'm a very religious man, and I'm upset with my own reactions. I'm upset with the company for provoking those reactions in me. That this boo doll, it's a bug. It's a.
You're having a hard time with the word.
With the word and with the concept, yeah. When I think it's a breast baby.
The breast milk baby.
Yes, sir.
All right. 877-876 Phil. Tell me what you are most. I need to get the story here, Steve, because you're dancing around it.
No, I don't mean. I'll give you the story.
You're dancing a little bit around it. What is the story here? The story is you see your daughter using this breast milk baby doll, and what?
I see my daughter using the breast. I'll give you the story straight, Mr. Henry. I don't have a fear because I love my family. I love my wife. I love God. And I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm afraid if I don't say what I'm going to say, that God will look at me and call me the worst. God will call me the worst names. And I don't want that from God.
I don't think God's going to call you names. I think that perhaps something else. Perhaps it'll just be you not being able to live with your lack of honesty with yourself, but go ahead.
No, I understand that. Mr. Henry, I don't need, you know, for you to tell me what I know. I have a personal relationship with God, and if he wants to, you know, I like to say to my wife sometimes when I'm joking, but I'm half joking, I'll say, if God wants to call me the dirty son of a bitch, he can. I wish God would sometimes when I'm praying. I wish he'd say, you dirty son of a bitch, you know.
Okay, Steve? Can we get to this?
Yes, sir, but I've...
I understand that you have a guilty conscience, correct?
Yes, sir, I do.
Why?
When I saw my daughter get the breast, the boob, well, she got the boob doll, not the boob. When my daughter got the breast milk baby, and she put the halter top on, and she started to feed it, based upon the documentary evidence that we now have, where we use what's called a lift and squeeze in many pornographic films and adult films, I thought about that, and I had to get up. I had to excuse myself, and I had to readjust my pants. And I don't know how far you want me to go.
You got aroused.
I got aroused, yes, sir.
You got aroused watching your own daughter.
Oh, no, Mr. Henry.
No, hold on. You got aroused watching your own daughter using this breast milk baby doll.
Mr. Henry, hold on for a minute, okay?
No, wait. Isn't that what you're saying?
Yes, I am saying that. But I'm saying that that's going on in this country right now. I don't like that doll. I don't like that toy. I don't like the company that it made it. I don't want it. I don't want it around. I don't want it. You have to understand what I'm saying. You think that I'm saying, let's get some more boob, baby. Let's get some more of the...
Breast milk baby doll.
Let's get some more of the breast milk baby doll. And let's get more and more and more and more. Because I liked what it done to me. And I want to get more and more and more. And that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying what it done to me. I hope God calls me a dirty son of a bitch for what it done to me. Now,
all right, why is the school suing you?
I didn't say the school's suing me. Oh, God.
All right, well, the school's not suing you. Why are you and the school having a problem?
The school and I are having a problem because I had emailed Erica Dorton, who's the headmistress, and I had said that the school, CK Corona, needs to be aware of a toy that the elementary school girls may be getting for birthdays, for Christmas, for graduation, or what have you. It's called the boob... forgive me, mister. It's called a boob doll.
Breast milk baby.
Breast milk baby. I'm sorry.
I don't know why you keep wanting to call it the boob doll or the... I don't know what it is you're going at.
I have a hard time with... It's the breast milk baby, and I said, you need to be aware of the fact that I saw my daughter using it, and that I sprung one, and that she needs to be aware of this.
Did you send a letter to the school and said you sprung one?
I don't remember exactly. I got a copy of the letter, yes, sir.
Did you say this to this woman, Erica Dorton? Did you send a letter to her saying that when you saw your daughter using the breast milk baby doll, you, quote, sprung one?
Sir, I don't like being interrogated. And
I'm trying to help you here because there's a way to communicate and there's a way not to communicate. Now, did you say this to this woman or didn't you?
I said, if I've got the letter here, let me hold on for a minute. I've got the letter. Okay, here it is. Yeah, dated on June, July, September, October, November. This is July. This is dated July. Well, dear Ms. Dorton, I am writing to you in reference to the boob. I did it wrong. To the boob doll. And I,
you can't even type this correctly.
I did the best that I could, sir.
All right, hold on for a minute. I want to get back into your letter, and I don't know what kind of time we're looking at here. I guess we have... Now, we have to take a break. I'm going to get back into the letter that you wrote to CK Corona School, Steve, so hold on. As Mr. Stephen Bozell of Corona, California, now admits to having gotten aroused when he saw his daughter using the breast milk baby, a new toy that approximates what it's like to breastfeed a doll, a baby. World-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Right on.
Right on, Mr. Henry.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World-famous Phil Henry Show here as we talk with Stephen Bozell from Corona, California, about this breast milk baby. It is a doll that girls, probably elementary, I've got to imagine it's an elementary school girl, is the target demographic. And these children are being marketed a toy that teaches them how to breastfeed a baby. Now, I don't know that this is necessary. I don't know that we need, at the age of 8, 9, 7, 8, 9, these girls barely know what it is to be a kid, and we've already got them ready to be moms and to breastfeed and to all of this stuff. And maybe I'm looking at it as a man. With me is Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. I appreciate, sir, that you love your daughter and that you are concerned with her well-being. You said before we went to the break that when you saw your daughter using this breast baby doll, she was breastfeeding it from this halter top with the two flowers, that you got aroused.
What I said, Mr. Enders, I said that I popped one and I immediately got up and had to get out of there and reassess. And I wrote the letter to Erica Dorton. Ms. Dorton, as you know, is the headmistress at CK Corona, and I said to her that if I said a bad word, I'm sorry.
You said to me that you wrote a letter to her saying, "Dear Ms. Dorton, I saw my daughter using this breast milk baby," although you misspoke and you said it was called a boob doll, didn't you?
What do you mean, didn't I? You know,
you read the letter and I took notes. Did you say boob doll?
Yeah, I did, but okay, yes, I did. I didn't know you memorized it. God, man, you know, to me, Mr. Henry, you're all memorizing this, but you're getting a thrill out of it or something?
Hey, pal, you're the guy that got aroused when you saw your own daughter using this thing. Don't tell me I'm getting a thrill out of it.
you're all like, oh, yeah, you said boob doll. And I'm just, you're all like memorizing it and getting, you know, thinking about it at night.
I'm not thinking about anything at night. Now, you wrote a letter to this Dorton. What did it say? You said that you saw your daughter using this doll and you got aroused.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Only you said you popped one.
Yes, sir, I did. Now, my purpose, though, and you haven't let me say one word in my defense yet. You've been talking and talking and talking. And
no, sir, I've let you. I've given you enough rope, so whereby you are now dangling, okay?
I mean, dangling. Boy, you're all talking about dangling? What is that? I don't understand what that means.
You're hanging by the rope. What happened with the school?
Well, I want to go on record as saying that you're the one that talked about a dangle. And
I'm talking about giving you enough rope to hang yourself. Do you know that term?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay, then it's got nothing to do with what you're thinking about. Now, you're the guy that watched your daughter with this breast milk baby, and you're the guy that said he got aroused, only you said you popped one. Now, what happened between you and the school that has caused you now to want to sue them?
What happened was is that Dorton, who is the headmistress at the school, called our home as she has done in the past, and I tape record everything that comes into our home now. Because I am sick and tired of what has transpired between Dorton and my home. She called our home and essentially told me that I was a perv, that I was perversion, that I was perved out. And at the same time, when I tried to explain to her that it was a toy that is aimed at the man to get him all excited and everything like this, she didn't say one word. She just continued to attack me, being all, you know, all, you know, what do you, how you ever want to say it. I'm on perp, I'm taking a walk down Perp Boulevard, basically what she's saying.
I don't know what that means, taking a walk down Perp Boulevard. Have you got this tape?
Yes, I do, sir. And Mr. Inner, I want to point out, you sound a little, I don't know what that means to you like that.
Mr. Bozell, you got the problem. I don't. You're on my program. I'm trying to help.
All right, sir, then I would appreciate if you would help and not go, you're the one that went down the street. I said I'm taking a walk down Perp Boulevard. I'm not. She thinks I am. She thinks I'm the one on Perp Boulevard. I haven't even stepped foot on that street. Okay?
Yes, sir. Fine.
All right, so this is the tape recording that come in. All I'm trying to do. This is the tape recording that come in to my home, 1121. All right.
Okay, are you there?
Yeah.
What was that screech?
I don't know. That was outside the house someplace. I had a tape recorder. I think it was Roy Hutchins, because when he heard the phone ring, he knew that it was Dorton, and I think he hit the brakes to his car. He was on his way to work, because he leaves early. Okay.
Yeah. What does he do?
Roy owns a dairy. He owns a Hutchins dairy, so he gets up early.
Well, what time did this call come in?
2:30 a.m.
And as soon as Hutchins heard the phone ring, he hits the brakes. Why?
Because he's sadistic. Because he wants to know what's going on. Oh, ha, ha. You know, Bozell's getting another call from Dorton.
Let me hear that again.
Yes, sir.
Are you there, Mr. Bozell?
Yes, sir.
All right, what I heard was the phone rings.
Yeah, the phone rings. Hutchins is on his way to his job. He hears the phone ring, hits his brakes, because he's probably thinking, boy, this is going to get good. And then I pick up the phone.
Now, but you're talking to someone. Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to Dorton.
Well, what's the breathing?
That's her.
Well, what are you... she's not saying anything to you.
No, she's not, but I know what the breathing means. She's accusing me of being a pervert, and she's threatening me. The woman is crazy. You can hear that she breathes into the phone. She doesn't say anything, but you know what the breathing means. It means that she's... obviously, you've run afoul of her, and I wanted that to be on the record and be public, because I don't...
Are you in fear for your life? Are you in fear for...
No, sir, I'm not, but she does that to try to scare you.
Well, I'll tell you this. This guy Hutchins, I don't know what problem you got with him, you know.
Well, he just loves to see me suffer. He just loves to see stuff happen to me. And his life is so empty that when he hears the phone ring at my house, he hits the brakes. I mean, you can hear it right here. Here's the recording right here, and I don't know if you heard that. See, right there.
Yeah, I heard it.
Okay, that's him hitting the brakes and going, oh, yeah, something that, you know, this is going to be good. Now she's in there all breathing on me, and she's basically saying by that breathing that I'm in big trouble. And that's what I tried to say to her. You haven't seen this boob doll. You don't know what it can do. Now, I suspect, and I could be wrong, but I suspect very much that Erica Dorton is a card-carrying, inveterate, nailed down and totally, totally, totally a lesbian. The reason why I say that is because if you ever seen this woman, boy, I mean, you'd know, okay?
All right. I mean, I don't know what that means, but okay.
All right. I don't like the idea that she's keeping track of what happens to me when I take a look at the baby boob doll or the baby, damn it.
Breast baby doll. Breast milk doll, okay? Breast milk doll.
What an ass, man. Oh, that's too bad.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, it is too bad. You're right, Mr. Bozell. It's really too bad. Sorry. You're coming on my program with boob doll this and boob doll that, and Erica Dorton's a lesbian, and she's breathing into the phone, and Hutchins, you know... You're the guy that got excited. Is he back on? Mr. Bozell, don't say anything, okay?
I want to be clear.
Hold on. You hung up on me. You're coming on my program talking about getting aroused when you see your daughter using this breast baby doll or breast milk doll. You're playing a tape recording of some old lady that's breathing into a phone. You got a friend that his life is so empty that when he hears the phone ring at your house, he hits the brakes because he wants to know what's going on. You're trying to get me to swallow all of this, and on top of everything else, you don't take responsibility for any of it. Now, isn't that true?
Again, Mr. Henry, you're interrogating me like I'm a bitch.
I'm interrogating you because that needs to be done, because I've been listening to your story and listening to your story and listening to your story.
Yeah, but you're interrogating me like I'm some yard bitch.
Will you hold on for a minute, okay? You know, you go to all of these extremes, Mr. Bozell, quite frankly, I think that it bespeaks a mental illness. I'm interrogating you like you're a yard bitch. I'm asking you questions so that my audience can have a clear understanding of what happened. Now, you said something pretty heavy here, man, okay? You said that when you saw your daughter using this toy that approximates the breastfeeding of a baby, you got, or in your words, you sprung one.
Well, you know, Mr. Henry, I heard a man on your program last night say, don't treat me like no beatnik. And I would like to second that emotion. Because I just heard you say, hey man, I don't like it any more than that other guest did. I'd appreciate if you not treat me like one of your beatnik bitches. And if you don't...
I'm not treating you like anything, sir. Excuse me if I'm using some sort of colloquialisms that you don't like. All right.
You heard the screech. You heard the phone ring. You heard it all. You see that's the recording right there, and that's the hell that my life is. That's the confused hell that my life has become. And you treat me like one of your bongo playing bitches. Boy, I tell you,
bongo playing. What is that about, man?
Well, there you go again with the man.
All right, I'm sorry. What does that mean, bongo playing bitch?
Everybody knows. Never mind. I want you to hear this because someone's got to hear it. The police, someone, please. If there's a police officer out there, would you please listen to this, sir? This is Erica Dorton calling my home. My neighbor Roy Hutchins hitting the brakes so he can get in on the fun. And then Dorton basically threatening me.
Oh, come on, man. Come on. I get the idea already. I heard it. God almighty, how much of that stuff are you going to play?
But I wanted to make sure that your audience got a nose full of it, too, because I know that you, were it up to you, Mr. Andre, you would censor it. You wouldn't let your audience get a nose full. All you want to do is let your audience hear you treat me like I'm some bongo-playing bitch right off the boardwalk at Venice, playing bongo after bongo. And you won't let them hear what I need for them to hear, which is the kid screaming, the car screeching, the bitch breathing, and the phone ringing. Now, I got the body, which is dead, I got the weapon, which is a gun, and I got the motive, which is money.
Buddy, you got problems.
No, how could I have problems if I just...
No, you got problems the way you think. You're all jacked up. Bongo playing bitch. You know what? I would have done better tonight, Mr. Bozell, rather than talk to you. I would have done better if I'd stayed home and played the bongos. Played the bongos, had some chicken tights dancing in front of me, and drinking espresso coffee. How's that? And trimming my goatee a little bit, and putting on a beret. Anything. Than talking to you and your arousal over your daughter's breast milk baby. Wow. All right, we've got our news and comment hour coming up. Still one more segment to go here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And don't forget, we're online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Phil TV, join us, won't you? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. With me is Stephen Bozell in Corona, California. We've been talking about this breast milk baby, a doll that his daughter has used. He doesn't approve. He even went so far as to tell the school that he didn't approve of this doll. And as it came out during the hour, Mr. Bozell, you say, based upon documentary evidence, it's normal for men to get aroused when they see a woman breastfeeding a baby.
Well, but also the lift and squirt.
Okay, fine, lift and squirt. But you go on to tell me that you got aroused when you saw your daughter using this.
Oh, you know, Mr. Andrew, I wish that you would. Now, see, right now, here it is. Hold on for a minute, honey. My daughter came in with it now. She's, all right, what are you doing? You going to demonstrate? My daughter came in. She's got the doll now.
Tell her to leave. Tell her to leave, Steve.
Hold on for a minute. Hold on. Are you going to use it? Okay. She's going to use it. Now, here's why I'm not going to tell her to leave.
Tell her to leave.
Hold on. The reason why I'm not going to tell her to leave... Yeah.
Oh, come on, man. Tell her to leave.
I'm not telling her to leave because I want to demonstrate it for your audience. Okay, now I think it's the least you can do is... Oh, shoot. Hold on. It's the other line, will you? Hold on for a minute. Yellow. Yeah, that was Dorton right there. Did you hear that? She's probably listening to the show. Okay?
I heard a screeching.
Yeah, that was Hutchins.
Well, what time is he going to work, man? On the West Coast here, it's 5 minutes to 12.
What do you mean on the West Coast here? Yeah, it's 5 minutes. I don't understand.
Because we're on back east.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's going to work. He's got a dairy. At least he's not going to work now. Hold on for a minute. No, Hutchins, nothing here to see. Here to see. Move on.
Hey, Steve.
Hold on, bud. Yeah? Because my daughter's got that breast baby. I said my daughter's got the breast baby. Well, if you're some kind of pervert. What? Get off my property, please, will you? Hold on. Yeah.
What was that?
Hold on, what?
What was that?
That was Dorton. Hold on. Get out of here. There's nothing here.
All right, I got to insist that you come back to this interview or I have to conclude it.
I'm sorry. That was Hutchins. He's at the front door. He said he heard the phone ring. Now he's in his truck and he's got the interior light on. I bet you he's listening on the radio right now. Hey, Roy, you see this? Look in the window, in the kitchen window.
All right, Mr. Bozell.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, Mr. No, hold on. Look in the kitchen window. There you go. What do you see? Yeah. That's for you, man. That's for you, man. I tell you, Mr. Andrea, I've lived and I've learned, and I've lived more and yet more again. Hold on for a minute.
Hey, I want to ask you something, all right?
But hold on, what? Yeah, it's Hutchins. Yeah, Dorton's on the other line. That's my wife, Mr. Andrea.
I want to ask you something.
Go ahead.
I've heard the truck screech twice.
And then he heard the phone ring again.
Is this guy so without a life that every time the phone rings in your house, he thinks there's something thrilling to be had?
I believe so, yes, sir. But he was also parked down the hill. I saw him parked. I saw the interior light of his truck on. And I said, because I know he's listening to the radio show right now, I said, why don't you look in the window? You heard what I said.
Yeah, I heard what you said, and I can well imagine you were doing something juvenile. Now, the conversation we're having...
Yes, I unzip my fly.
That's fine, and I think that we all were well aware that you were doing something like that. You didn't have to tell me. But the conversation we're having has spun out of control from the very sick fact that you are aroused by looking at your daughter using that breast milk baby to the fact that you are now getting phone calls from the headmistress at your daughter's school, and all she's doing is breathing into the phone. Now, to me, that would be a threat. I would call the police.
Well, and you're absolutely right. There's only one problem. We are on a program, on a tuition program. Hold on. Yellow. Yeah, see, it happens in threes.
It happens in threes. The phone rings, she's breathing, and Hutchins is on his way to work, and he hits the brake. What you need to do, in my opinion, is call the police because of that breathing. Tell that guy Hutchins to butt out, maybe with your fist, and go to a head shrinker, man, for that other problem. And I'm glad I hung up on him.
I'm still here.
Phil.
Well, I hung up on... What do you mean you're still here?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show. And we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. It's radio for patriots, by patriots, and welcome to the program. We thank Stephen Bozell for his insight into what it must be like for a father to see his daughter using that breast milk baby. And we also thank our other guest, who I forget who that was, but it was a thrill and a half anyway. Who was our other guest? I'm always constantly forgetting who these... Who was it? Jim Nancy. We haven't had Jim on the show before, and that was the gentleman talking about Rupert Murdoch. 877-876-PHIL. Go to our website, philhendryshow.com. And get a backstage pass, watch our nightly live streaming video, check out our archives. We've got a lot of them. We have the deepest archive of any radio show in the world. We have our classic Phil podcast, our daily podcast. We have our webisodes. We have our news feed. And we have you. And if you become a part of our family, then you get all of that stuff, including catching up on our email, our instant email access to Phil Hendry if you want to contact me. That's the best place to do it. because we have stopped using, I didn't stop using Facebook. I mean, we still have a Facebook page, but I'm not over there posting comments. And we're going to back way off of Twitter, too, because Twitter's fun, but Twitter's noisy. You know, we have a website, and that's what we'd like to use. All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. A couple of things in the news that are of a fascinating aspect to me. Some of them you know about, and others you may not. One of them has to do with a fair shutting down a Casey Anthony dunk booth. There's a little bit of background on Rupert Murdoch's wife, the woman that took a swat at that dude that laid that pie into his face. And we'll get into all of that. We also have Michelle Bachmann trying to dispel the migraine headache concerns. But I believe we have more information on the situation in Florida that's about as it's about as ghastly a thing as you've ever heard in your life. And that was this kid, this Hadley kid, that took a hammer to his mother and his father, killed them, dragged them into a bedroom, covered them with all kinds of garbage, and then threw a Facebook party. Now, it's so beyond the pale, you know, of anything that you would you could imagine. Although I suppose we can all imagine it. I don't think that there's anything that that is beyond our imagination. I don't know why it is we don't have this story, you know, and I'm getting really tired of having to thumb through news and look for this stuff. The teenager who allegedly used a claw hammer to bludgeon his parents to death twice confided in his best friend that he intended to kill them, but the friend dismissed the comments because the teen had made such threats before. Now, we still, you know, I don't know who this friend is. It might be this kid, this Michael Haddell Michael Mandel. This kid saw the bodies, so that's a whole other thing. You know, that's like River's Edge, which is the film based on a true story where there was a murder committed, and the kid that committed the murder then went on to show his friends the body as if it was show and tell, as if they built a new treehouse. And he would say, hey, you want to see something? Yeah, and the kids would go down and they'd look at this body. And in the movie River's Edge, which starred Crispin Glover and Dennis Hopper, the message is, well, this was all about loyalty. It was all about these kids having each other's back, that you don't rat, that even though as badly motivated as all those kids were, I mean, that was the story there. And maybe it is. But this kid went home after having seen the dead bodies and didn't do anything, sat on his ass, and then the cops finally knocked on the door and he told them the story. The suspect, this Taylor Hadley, also told a friend that he attacked his parents, Mary Jo and Blake Hadley, after taking a large, quote, dose of the drug ecstasy. Details of the double murder emerged as Taylor Hadley's attorney, Mark Harfley, filed a not guilty plea. Hadley's currently being held at the Port St. Lucie County Jail. He's confessed to killing his parents. He threw a booze party for about 60 friends while the bodies of his parents laid in a locked bedroom. During the party, Hadley pulled his best friend Michael Mandel aside and told him that he killed his mother and father. When Mandel didn't believe Hadley, Tyler pointed out both the parents' vehicles were still in the driveway, according to the affidavit. He wasn't convinced until Hadley took Mandel to the master bedroom, where Mandel saw a man's leg and recognized Blake Hadley's shoe. Hadley told his friends, who he has known since they were eight, or his friend, rather, excuse me, who he's known since they were both 8 years of age. He stood behind his mother while she was at the computer and thought about killing her for 5 minutes. Then he decided to strike his mother in the back of the head with a hammer. After the initial blows, Hadley said his mother turned to him and asked why. Hadley's father came out of the bedroom when he heard his wife scream. Tyler told Mandel that he and his father stared into each other's eyes for a minute. Tyler said he then went after his father and murdered him. Mandel said Hadley took his parents' cell phones and put them in his bedroom so that they couldn't get to them, and took one of their credit cards so he would have access to their money. It took the teenager about 3 hours to mop up the blood, he allegedly told Mandel, before his friends arrived for the party. According to the affidavit, Mandel told police Hadley was going to take the 10 Percocet pills and then kill himself. But the police showed up instead. It was Mandel who called police to alert them to the murders. It was erroneously reported by WPTV that Mandel did not contact the police. He did call the police. So this poor kid I've been talking about for the last, 24 hours. Why didn't you call the cops? This is something out of River's Edge. He did call the cops. When police arrived at the home, they found Hadley glassy-eyed and talkative. When the boys said they couldn't come in, the police entered anyway. On the possibility that someone inside could be in danger, the officers found the parents' bodies in a locked bedroom beneath furniture that had been piled on top of them. Mandel told television, this kid, Mike Mandel, told television station WPTV that Hadley had taken three ecstasy pills and didn't believe his friend's confession until he saw the father's body. After he told me, I didn't believe him because he's been my best friend forever. You know, yesterday I was talking about this kid being a psychopath, but I've changed my opinion. And, you know, this is just me speculating. I don't have any information. I'm not a cop. I'm not a psychologist. I'm a stupid talk show host, which makes me about on a par with every other talk show host. But when it comes to this kind of thing, I've done a lot of reading, for whatever that's worth, and I would just like to give you a view, because there have been crimes like this before. This is not the first. It's gruesome, but it's not the first. This is not the first kid that killed his parents for no apparent reason. Now, there was a kid in Oregon who shot both of his parents and then went to school and shot some schoolmates before he was subdued and put into prison eventually, where he still is. His name is Kip Kinkle. I think that's the last name, Kinkle. That kid was psychotic. You find out all this stuff after the fact. What do I mean by psychotic? I mean schizophrenic. I mean hearing voices, seeing things, having weird thoughts, not in control of your reality, because your reality has nothing whatsoever to do with the rest of the world. I've heard schizophrenia described this way. All of us, you, me, all of us that don't have this condition, we're watching one television. A schizophrenic is concentrating on 20. He's got this one and that one, and this, there's another one talking to him. There's TVs everywhere. There's 20 televisions that he doesn't know which one to focus on. Whereas you and I are looking at, and we are grappling with reality. Okay, there's reality, and all of our TVs are on the same channel. A schizophrenic has the television tuned to our channel, but he also has 19 other TVs tuned to a bunch of other channels. And I'm thinking, and it's a wild guess, I have no idea, that this is what's going on with this guy, some kind of a psychosis. Now, people are really, you know, they want to say, oh, well, you know that this has to do with the drugs that he was taking. Now, it is true, because, you know, when we talked to Dr. Stone, he said, Dr. Stone said, I believe that a lot of these psychotic episodes have been brought on increasingly by the drug use that's prevalent in our society. But he never said that they cause, you know, a psychosis that wasn't going to appear anyway. So what these drugs do, they're probably taken by the psychotic person because they want to try to control their reality, and all they do is, like, spin it more out of control. Tyler Hadley's friend Mike Mandel spoke to WPTV television. He was at the party the night of the murder, and he saw the crime scene. WPTV erroneously reported that Mandel didn't call police to report the murder. ABC News reported today that he was, in fact, the person who tipped off the police.
He told me if I look good enough, I can see signs. I looked on the floor, I could see signs of blood, and that's when I went around back and looked in his parents' bedroom.
After you saw this scene, mm-hmm. What did you do?
I was in shock. I was sitting down. I didn't know what to do.
Was he worried about what to do with the bodies or anything like that?
No. He was going to commit suicide once he got caught, but that failed.
Was he on any sort of drugs or anything?
He was on ecstasy. I think he just threw a party because he knew he was going away and he wanted to see his friends one last time. I feel like this kid that I've known all my life, I don't know him.
All right, now here is Dr. Judy Holland. She's an assistant professor of psychiatry at New York University, and she studied ecstasy.
And she said, quote, it is absolutely not known to cause violent reactions. It's more likely that a psychotic person takes ecstasy or any other drug. Why? To control what's going on with their head. You know, they're so loopy. They don't know what's going on, man. They are so, I mean, they're living in a, they're living in another freaking universe. So what are they doing? They're taking something, anything, to try to pull this reality together that they're looking at, right? So they're taking ecstasy, smoking weed, I don't know, any other hallucinogenic to try to make this whole thing make sense. The tablets that Hadley allegedly took may have been sold as ecstasy, Holland said, but they could have been anything. Given that Hadley had talked about murdering his parents in the past, he could have been having a first episode psychotic break that was made worse or triggered by the ecstasy. That's what I was talking about. So she's talking about psychosis. Most people assume ecstasy causes euphoria, explained Cindy Kuhn, a neuropharmacologist at Duke University. Although that is true in small doses, she said larger doses, such as the three pills Hadley allegedly took, can produce high blood pressure and increased anxiety. You'd expect someone to maybe be very activated, running around, more aroused and alert, said Kuhn. When police arrived early Sunday in response to the tip they received that Hadley's parents had been murdered, Hadley appeared, quote, nervous, frantic, and talkative, according to the affidavit. Hadley is age 17, is a prime age to go crazy, and these are the words of Dr. Julie Holland. A prime age to go crazy. She's talking about a prime age to have psychotic episodes. In the late teens and early 20s, the brain is very vulnerable. That's typically when people develop schizophrenia or manic depression. In patients with schizophrenia, for example, a drug like ecstasy can trigger an episode. It's unknown if Hadley suffered from psychological illness. This is her opinion, and it's like my opinion, but all of a sudden, and I'll give you one more and then we'll take a break. I'll bet you anything that he already was hallucinating, and by that I don't mean, you know, taking drugs. He was probably already hearing little people tell him that, you know, there was some odd, I mean, one of these school shootings, I read a whole book on the school shootings of the 90s in the early part of this century, and they went into every single school shooting and every single set of suspects, every single one of these kids, what their problem was, from childhood abuse in a couple of cases where they were so violently treated that they became themselves violent. Psychopathy, a psychopath, which was Eric Harris's problem at Columbine, and then psychosis, which was this Kip Kinkle and others. One of those kids was so sick that he believed there were people living under his house trying to chop his legs off. And he went so far as to take a piece of metal and lay it on his bed frame so they couldn't reach up and cut him in the middle of the night through this place, you know, through underneath the house. I mean, way out there. Way, way out there. And finally, the kid picks up a gun and just says, okay, I don't know why they react that way, but they do. All right, we're going to come back here. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. I hope it didn't scare you, and I don't know what I'm talking about. I mean, I'm a talk show host, folks. Just take it for what it's worth. 877-876-PHIL. A Casey Anthony-themed dunking booth causes a bit of a stir at a fair. Plus, Michelle Bachman addresses reports on her migraine headaches. How long before she picks up a gun and I'm only kidding? World famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. For patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And this kid, Kip Kinkle, I was talking about, this is the kid in Oregon. And forgive me, I've got the story here. He was convicted of multiple counts of murder and attempted murder with a firearm. He got 111 years on November the 2nd, 1999. And that was the result of this schoolyard shooting and the murder of his parents.
I've got a completely in-depth story up here in front of me, but the guy's now, I think, 25, well, let's see, four, he's about 29 years old now. And if his interrogation tape is available online, you can hear it on YouTube. And I'm telling you, it's the saddest thing you're ever going to hear. It's the saddest thing, man, because the kid was, I don't know, 14, and he was absolutely distraught and crying. He had no idea why he had just killed his parents. He had no idea. And the cop, for his part, was very sympathetic. He knew he was talking to a kid. And who knows, you know, cops talk to all kinds of people. I mean, he probably knew he was talking to a kid that was, you know, real, I mean, really around the bend. But this poor kid was crying. And anyway, he killed his parents. It was May of 1998 at the age of 15. So anyway, they gave this kid 111 years. And I'm just wondering, I mean, the kid was full on psychotic. I mean, he had voices going on in his head. He said to the cop at one point, and this was the part that was really heavy, he said, my brain doesn't work right. The cop says, why do you say your brain doesn't work right? He says, I don't know. He's crying. He's 15. What the hell does he know, you know? All he knows is, he keeps telling this cop, my brain isn't working right. And the cop said, I guess not. You killed your parents. Ha, ha, ha. No, he didn't say that. I'm just joking. But had I been the cop, I would have done that. I would have tried to broken the ice. No, I wouldn't have done that either. I'm just saying that he was very distraught. And he kept saying that, you know, my brain doesn't work. It doesn't work right. And when they finally did apprehend this kid, Kip Kinkle, he had planned on killing himself. But he had killed his parents. He'd gone to school and killed, I think, one or two others. And somehow they had jumped him. Some of the students got the weapon away from him, and he started yelling, kill me, please shoot me. And I keep remembering that line from Creation of the Humanoids when the guy says, kill me, and he says, you say my sister's in rapport with a clicker, you bet I'll kill you. I know you guys don't know the movie, so just forget it. Anyway, he later said that he wanted to trick the officer into shooting him and that he'd wanted to commit suicide after killing his parents, but he couldn't bring himself to do it, so what did he decide to do? He decided to go to school and kill a bunch of people over there. He pled guilty to murder and attempted murder, foregoing the possibility of being acquitted by reason of insanity. There you go. He probably would have gotten that. I bet you anything he would have gotten reason of insanity. But the kid decided to go ahead and plead guilty. And I don't know whether you're 15, you decide these things on your own or what. But anyway, that's that. We don't have to keep going into it. But, you know, it's always nice. I mean, if you can figure out why people do this stuff, or at least have a handle on the possibility of certain things. I don't know about you. I mean, I sleep better at night just rather than just thinking that there is a whole genetic mutation, a tribe, a generation of kids that are going to pick up their weapons and commit some juvenile apocalypse. I remember I had to laugh right after Columbine. That's exactly what this writer wrote. He said, are we on the verge of a juvenile apocalypse? Meaning some mad world upheaval of youths, 14 and 15 year old boys armed with AK-15s and like that. So ain't life great? All right, we'll be back here with the dunking booth and Michelle Bachman's migraine headaches. It's always something on the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Tell you something right now, man.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
And it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show every night here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Truth is our bitch on this here show. And we welcome you, and we invite you to join us at philhenryshow.com. We're also on Twitter, twitter.com/realphilhenry. If you really want the Twitter experience, you can go over there. We're there. And we're at Facebook. And in other words, all and Google+, which Let me give you the whole lowdown on Google Plus. I don't know how many of you guys are using Google Plus. I'm sure there's something I'm missing about Google Plus. I'm sure that it's a wonderful experience, and as soon as I get educated enough, you know, I will be over there, and I will be wasting my time on Google Plus, too, like I do already on Twitter and Facebook. But here's the thing. You know, one of the things I think that makes Twitter popular is that it's a conversation between people. It's an ongoing conversation, and that's all it is. It doesn't have anything to do with how great we are. It doesn't have anything to do with pictures of our freaking dog. And I'm sorry, but, that stuff, the Facebook experience, it does not gun my engine. Pictures of our dog, pictures of this, and pictures of that. There's some stuff that I like, and there's some people over there that I know, and I enjoy looking at what they have to share, okay? But for the most part, some jackass posting a 50-page article about why Obama's a sack of crap, or, dude that is constantly freaking haranguing his libertarian point of view with pictures of this and pictures of that and pictures of something else. I mean, in other words, Facebook is all about me, 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 me. Whereas Twitter at least gives the illusion of an exchange going on between people. Now we have Google Plus. This is the second attempt by Google to enter the social media wars. And in my opinion, and this is just my opinion, I don't think it's any more interesting than Google Buzz, which I never figured out. I never figured out what that was about. Google Plus is like a combination of Twitter and Facebook. It has circles. In other words, are you in a friend circle? Are you in an acquaintance circle? Are you in a following circle? Are you in a non-following circle? And I have no idea how to use that. You could put up pictures, and people comment on your picture, but it also has a feed that's like Twitter. And I look at this thing, and because there's no app for it, like there's an app for Facebook, an app for Twitter. I don't know if there's a Google Plus app. I don't even go anywhere near it. One of these days, I'm sure I will, and one of these days someone's going to enlighten me as to how I've been wrong, because it's happened before. No, you're going to find out, Phil. This is really cool. Okay. But right now, to paraphrase Johnny Cash in the song San Quentin, Google Plus, I hate every inch of you. You've bothered me since about 20 minutes past 2. I've seen him come, and I've seen him lay down and die. And long ago, I stopped asking, what circle do I belong in? Or something, I don't know, I was just making that up on the... Do I get points for that? Good. All right, Fair shuts down Casey Anthony dunking booth. Well, that's a bunch of horse dung. What happened to free speech? Lexington, Kentucky. Officials at the Lexington Lions Club Bluegrass Fair decided on Tuesday to shut down a Casey Anthony dunking booth featuring a Casey Anthony impersonator. We know there would probably be some controversy, said Ron Masotti, chairman of the fair. The Lions Club, a community service club organization, thinks that this has probably gone a bit too far. Masotti said the Lions certainly want to apologize if this particular attraction offended anyone. In a news release issued Tuesday night, fair officials said the booth was taken down because there was a public outcry of negative opinions and a misconception that the Lexington Lions Club conceived and orchestrated the idea. The Lexington Lions Club, who sponsors the Bluegrass Fair, wanted to be respectful of the growing public sentiment that the booth created by crossing the line and by distracting many people from the real purpose of the fair. Several people tried their hand at dunking an Anthony impersonator before the booth was shut down shortly after the fair opened for the day on Tuesday. One of them, the mayor of the city, and another, the vice president of the Lions Club, said, hey, what a jip. No, they didn't. No, I don't know of any mayor or any vice president of any Lions Club. I think this is reasonable. I'm just reading the story like a smartass. It's very reasonable. You know, this is your club. This is the Lions Club, long-standing philanthropic organization, long-standing service organization, like the Kiwanis, like the Rotary. And they do everything by the book. If there's one thing that these service clubs do, they do it all by the book. Well, most of them. I mean, I suppose we could call the Ku Klux Klan a service organization for white people. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying the Klan is an admirable organization, but I'm sure that they think on their good days, I'm sure you guys in the Klan think when you're not hungover, you're thinking, well, we got kind of a service organization here, except you've got to be white and not have every tooth. All right. I probably just stepped over the line there. Nonetheless, earlier in the day, Massetti acknowledged the booth was tacky and tasteless, but added that fares are tacky and tasteless. We're not running a high-end social event, he said. The State versus Anthony dunking booth gave fairgoers a chance to vent their frustration over the recent acquittal of Casey Anthony in the death of her 2-year-old daughter, Kaylee. The booth had two targets, one marked guilty, the other marked innocent. After the Lions Club asked that the references to Casey Anthony be removed, the impersonator climbed out of the booth. All right, guys, I got to go sign some book deals, she said. Pretty funny. On Tuesday afternoon, before the decision was made to remove the Anthony impersonator, Massetti said the whole idea of having the booth was to get more people to the fair, boost attendance. If we can get more people to the fair, that would make me a happy person. Who is this Massetti guy? Something tells me that he is. Ron Massetti, who's the chairman of the fair. All right, so, Ron, you ran afoul of the Lions Club, man. Just take it like a man, and I'm sure you have taken it like a man. I know you wanted to get your shots in. You're right. Fairs are not high-class social events, but fairs are also family events. Now, there's nothing wrong, necessarily, with a Casey Anthony booth. It's not obscene, but it's not exactly, I would say, the family kind of attraction, you know. It ain't Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. You know, a Casey Anthony dunking booth is more like California Screaming, baby. It's not, it ain't the Dumbo with the, you know what I mean. All right. Let's move on to the top story from last night. At least I thought it was the top story from last night. We did it enough. I listened to some of last night's show, and it was like all Michelle Bachmann all the time. But you know what? I think it's a very worthy topic. I got to tell you, I'm very troubled, and this doesn't come as a shock to you guys. You know I'm telling you the truth. I'm very troubled by Michelle Bachmann, and I have been for a long time. Now, I haven't talked about her in a long time because, quite frankly, to be honest with you, the rank and file of the American people wouldn't know this woman if she dropped dead in front of them and they tripped over her. She's not that big of a deal yet, but she's getting there. Now, I don't know why. I've listened to her, and she does not represent the finest among us. It could very well be that we've run out of reputable, intelligent human beings. It could very well be that we've just flat run out of really smart, wise leaders. Now we have to start talking to people that are borderline mental cases. People, and quite frankly, I mean this, I'm sorry, she is a borderline moron. She's a borderline moron. I'm not kidding you. She doesn't know what she's saying from one minute to the next. Her perception of the world is beyond belief. She hasn't got a clue as to what history took place. She doesn't really know what the Constitution means. You know, she's been empowered by a lot of people in her neighborhood over the years that she's some kind of a brain. Now, here's the thing that's scary. The Republican Party has quite a few viewpoints and philosophical tenets that I adhere to, that I believe in. I do believe in wise fiscal policy. I do believe in a strong national defense. I do believe, as much as possible, empowering the individual and the individual business owner. I believe in all those things. But I can't tell you that I'm right straight down the line of conservative, because I also believe at times we do need some government action. I don't think a lot of people would disagree with that. The problem is a lot of people don't want to admit to it. I don't believe in any government. You know, people are dishonest, let's face it. But when the Republican Party, all you got left is Michelle Bachmann, Jack, you're done. I just think they are. She's not going to get elected president. And if you throw that woman up against Barack Obama, she's going to lose. Now, why are we hearing a lot about her? It's because it's still early, and this is the time when the activists, the real active people, the real extreme people in a party, this is the time that they come out and they make their opinions known. So when we have primaries, most of the time the people that are motivated to vote are the extreme people in each party. That's why you see some of these clowns getting a little leg up like a Pat Buchanan, excuse me, or a Michelle Bachmann. And let me tell you something. You conservatives, or you liberals, this is for you. You thought that Sarah Palin was bad, huh? You don't have an idea what it is you're talking about. In fact, you were always pretty wrong about Sarah Palin. I understand that Sarah Palin is somebody you didn't like because she's a conservative. But if you think that Michelle Bachmann is, you haven't seen anything until you've seen this Bachmann. Conservative, she's an extremist. And on top of that, she's got a husband that's in the closet. He's counseling gay guys on how not to be gay. They haven't even dealt with that yet. She's got migraine headaches, and she wonders why. She's got all kinds of conflict and all kinds of distress going on inside of her. She's got this husband that's swishing around. She's got the gay thing. She's mental, man. I think this chick, she's going to go around the edge one of these days. I mean, they're going to have her strapped to a gurney within months. I think Michelle Bachmann is on her way to a nervous breakdown. She's going to have to come to deal with stuff in her own family. Here is, at a key speech today, Michelle Bachmann addressing the reports about her migraine headaches and that they may incapacitate her, that she may be taking medication that will incapacitate her for these migraine headaches. Here is Michelle Bachmann.
I prescribe medication that I take on occasion whenever symptoms arise, and they keep my migraines under control.
That's great.
But I'd like to be abundantly clear. My ability to function effectively will not affect my ability to serve as commander-in-chief. Since entering this campaign for the presidency, I have maintained a full schedule. The many questions I have received on this subject have allowed me to discuss this important condition that impacts many Americans and individuals in nearly one in four American households.
All right, answer this.
Why did we buy Alaska in the 1950s?
Don't know. And you never will know. All right, I understand that, and I certainly think you could be a good spokesperson for migraine headaches. I'm not kidding. I'm not trying to be funny. I think that you could be a good spokesperson for people that suffer from that condition. It's horrible. It's horrible. My mother had migraine headaches. I mean, I'm not kidding you. My mom, my poor mother, would be so incapacitated by a migraine. I'm a 14-year-old kid. I do not have a driver's license. But my mother can't get out of bed because her head is splitting apart from a migraine. And she says to me, Philip, would you please go to the pharmacy and get me XYZ, some medication? And she said, take the car. And I said, hot damn! And I didn't mean that, Mom. But I said, yes, I'll take the car, Mom. Do you mind if I speed? She said, no, please go fast. I said, what if I hit people? She said, I could give a damn because I'm in that kind of pain. No, she didn't say any of that, but she did say to me, there's my poor mother. She's dying of this headache. I had no idea what she was going through. She says, I can't get out of bed, honey. You got to get me this medicine. And I said, I will, Mom. And I took the keys to her car at the age of 14. I got in the car and I drove about as good as, probably better than anybody driving on a Saturday morning in Arcadia, California in the late 1960s. I would go to the pharmacy. Sure, I'd stop off and, you know, talk to girlfriends. I mean, I had a car. No, I bought the pain medicine, came home. I mean, that's how bad it was. My mother is telling her 14-year-old son, who doesn't have a driver's license, please go get me medicine. You know, so it's a terrible, terrible condition. And I hope and pray that the congresswoman is better. But, President, you ain't. I'm sorry, but you're not. And, you know, Mrs. Bachmann, with all due respect, ma'am, you have to answer the question sooner or later. What's up with your husband? You know, you're going to get into a campaign, and you're going to be up against some pretty heavy hitters on the Democratic side. These are people that are liberals who support gay rights in their mind. They are big, big backers of the rights of gay people. And the one of the first questions they're going to ask you is, what do you think of your husband? He's gay. Or he's in the closet. And he's out there trying to counsel gay men on how not to be gay. Talk about a guy that's, you know, trying desperately to keep, if you'll pardon the expression, the wolf from the door. She's going to have to deal with all these questions. You guys that are at the head of the Republican Party, do you understand that, and I'm sure you do, that it ain't no snowball toss?
It ain't no, it's no cotillion that when that woman, if you make the mistake of nominating her to be president of the United States, she gets out there in a public campaign, she's going to get her ass handed to her. Because of many of the things that she said, but they won't even have to go that far, man. All they got to do is take a look at Marcus Bachmann. What's he dealing with? What's his problem? What's he hiding from? All right, it's going to be Larry Craig, sort of, you know, kind of a bent Larry Craig. Well, I guess that was Larry Craig. He was bent. Over. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We'll be right back on the world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show. Looking at myself here in our Phil TV and HD monitor, boy, I am pasty white, man. Man, I'm just a white boy. I got that Irish. I don't just have the Irish complexion, man. I got the Irish vampire complexion. Just no blood in the face at all. I don't know what that is. Probably the fact that not a whole lot of blood gets that far up in my body. You know, most of it collects in a certain... Anyway, Harry Potter withdrawal. Will fans feel post-Potter pain? God, I hope they do. I really do. I hope you Harry Potter fans feel so much pain, you throw yourselves out of windows. I mean it. Because I know that me saying that isn't necessarily going to get you to throw yourself out of a window. So if you do throw yourself out of a window, it's because you're already mentally, you know, disabled. So I can articulate that desire, and I don't have to feel guilty about any of it happening. I just know that there are so many people out there that are so hooked on this guy. And I'm not knocking Harry Potter, please understand. I'm knocking, and I quite don't understand the phenomenon that causes a fan of anything to go through any withdrawal or any kind of physical or psychic pain because of something in entertainment. This is nothing new. Anyone who attended any of the record-breaking screenings of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 this past weekend can attest that the echoes of weeping fans often rivaled the theater's booming sound systems. And while there's no doubt that the tears flowed early and often because of hanky-worthy moments, such as Harry accepting his fate to die and the death of several beloved characters, it's also fair to say that many Potter fanatics found themselves crying for an entirely different reason. Now, here's where this story, ladies and gentlemen, goes from fact to the wild imaginings of Ali Semigran of Entertainment Weekly. And why do I say that? Because of this phrase. It's also fair to say that many Potter fanatics found themselves crying for an entirely different reason. Well, that's not saying that you witnessed it in abundance. You just think it's fair to say. This was the moment in which they were letting go of Harry and his beloved series for good. I don't think I've come fully to terms with the fact that the series is now officially over, said 19-year-old Evan Dalton, an avid West Virginia-based Harry Potter fan who has plans to see Deathly Hallows Part 2 for a third time. I live in West Virginia. What do you want from me? Said Evan. Do you understand? Evan said. Do you understand? West Virginia. No, he didn't say that. But he did say, Phil, you know, quit breathing on me. We'll be back into this in much more detail, I'm sure, in future shows. Let's just say that schoolgirls have been throwing themselves out of buildings for centuries because their favorite film star, or before films, their favorite Saturday afternoon matinee star on stage, or something, somewhere, somehow, died. That's where we get the phrase, who died, see? It used to mean somebody died and now a teenage girl is throwing herself out of a window. Now it means someone farted. The world famous Phil Henry Show. We'll see you tonight. PhilHenryShow.com.
Phil Henry.